All right. Welcome, everyone. I kind of just barely made it coming in, but really happy to be with you all to continue these explorations together. It's just been lovely to see everyone on a more frequent basis, so we'll continue. I am going to be offering some teaching and some practice around vast awareness, vastness of awareness practices. And I'll kind of be continuing the teaching thread that I opened up last month ago. If you weren't here for the previous sessions, we are recording just the guided practice and teaching portions and posting that so you can catch up. But I'll go ahead and start. I will be doing similar format to what I did last time, where we'll do a little kind of exercise playing with some capacities that might be helpful to open something up within the vastness of awareness practice. Then I'll offer a little teaching, and then we'll have a bit of a longer time to practice together. So that'll be how it goes. For some reason, maybe it's a helpful reason, but it came to me to just want to kind of, frame what I'm offering today or put a little seed into the mix and bring up this idea that when we practice insight meditation, when we practice emptiness practice, we can look at this as taking up a phenomenal logical exploration or looking at this way of practicing as a phenomenal logical approach or inquiry to understanding something about fabrication. So just to define that a little, it's something that Rob lays out in his book a bit and in other places. But, you know, it's really saying what we're doing is working with what is available to us from our perspective as meditators on the cushion, what we can sense and know and touch and explore and hold from that place, and not being concerned with, we could say, you know, the wider ideas we might have about things, the ultimate truth of X or Y, or the reality status of things, or the ontological status of things. Doing our best to just kind of set those down, and kind of protecting the exploration on the cushion as meditators. You know, it's not 100% perfect. We're always bringing in all sorts of stuff with us on the cushion. But I think there is a way that just sort of holding that way of framing practice in mind, it can help to unburden us, to unburden the practice, the effort. When we notice, you know, maybe the mind kind of going outwardly or kind of picking up different ideas that are outside of what is kind of really arising within the practice, it can allow us to just kind of let it go and have more energy and more attention for this practice, which really relies on a lot of openness, a willingness to explore, a lot of curiosity. Yeah, so can be a support that way. I think another reason I want to bring it in is just to kind of underline the idea that where your freedom will actually come from through doing Buddhist practice or insight practice or emptiness practice, it will come from within this domain, and it will free you within this domain. So basically saying, it's not so important where your ideas start or your level of understanding or your level of even study and exploration. It's more working with your relationship to what you are solidifying, fixating, the ways in which your habits of perception are kind of constrained in some way. It's really working with your relationship to what is moving through your mind and what your mind is seeking versus kind of the content of it. I don't think I articulated that totally well, but I think there can be, maybe particularly with this practice around vastness awareness, where there's a lot of ideas around it, A lot of ideas about how it relates to other traditions, maybe different ways that certain perceptions and experiences that arise in practicing with the vastness of awareness practices, we can get kind of, sucked into them and holding them, just to kind of keep this line of this connection to the broader through line of our insight practice, which is understanding something about how what the mind brings to experience or what comes through this relationship of clinging that we are so often primarily caught in, how we can gain some skill with sensing that, detecting the impact of that and releasing it. Yeah, that's kind of the broader through line. So, I just felt a wish to kind of bring that into the space a little bit. Before we begin. And then maybe just to introduce what I'll be offering today by tying it to what I offered last week. I introduced, a few ideas that I was going to explore in what I offer in these sessions. And really, they are ways that, for me, I feel there's a very, interesting or alive or possibly fruitful intersection to explore between vastness of awareness practices and anatta practices. So I just kind of listed a few. I'll be emphasizing one today. Just to review the four things that I picked up. One is something about how when there is less clinging, there tends to be more spaciousness available. So when we practice or use a way of looking that reduces clinging, we can often then sense that there is more openness to the way the attention is working, for example, or more of a sense of spaciousness in how it feels that phenomena is, how we're sensing that. And conversely, when we have some skill in finding our own way to face experience with a more spacious, open attention, these vast awareness practices in some ways are really learning how to do that for ourselves. When we increase our capacity to do that, it's like we have the ability to reduce clinging, kind of across the board, or allows for some kind of wholesale reduction of the clinging that can be really helpful. So I mentioned a little bit about the kind of the ways you can kind of come in from either directions and move towards more equanimity, less clinging, more spaciousness. I mentioned the possibility of sensing this vast, aware space somehow can hold everything that's arising in experience, somehow that what's arising belongs to that space. Even the things that I take to be very much myself, my thoughts, my emotional experience, my body sensations, whatever's arising, we can have this impression, this sense, this perception that it belongs to the space, which is a really different, it's kind of opening up or softening something about a more contracted self sense. Yeah, this is mine, this belongs to me, that stuff is other, doesn't belong to me. It's sort of bringing something together and changing something in the relationship. Whenever we kind of pull one piece out of the habitual self-sense, or we could say the contracted self-sense, it will have the impact of releasing clinging in one way or another and softening things or opening something. Something else that I mentioned last week was the way that these practices allow us to play with perceptions or experience a sense of awareness having a different perspective somehow, one way or another, that it is not localized here within myself, my body, my head, looking through my eyes or hearing through my ears. Instead, it's an attribute of the space, or it's the awareness that which knows is everywhere. Yeah, so very different. Directly can relate that to kind of working with the self-sense in that one is kind of letting go or dissolving or pulling out the sense that I'm holding, I'm the locus of awareness, something like that. Yeah? So that possibility. And then the last one that I offered, which is where I'm going to explore today, is something about the possibility that we can have a sense doing these practices, vastness of awareness practices, that what is arising, what is sensed as an object or a sensation, is of no difference in substance than the awareness itself. So those kinds of perceptions, sometimes they just show up. Sometimes we engender them through practicing with certain instructions. Sometimes certain instructions will kind of shine a light that we've got that kind of perception going already, but it'll become more visible through practicing a certain way. So that is something that I'll go a little bit more into that in ways that Rob has offered teachings around that way of perceiving experience. For today, I actually wanted to kind of broaden that out a little bit more and offer a bit of an exploration, both in the practice exercise and in the teaching, something about the ways in which, as we practice these vastness of awareness practices or vast awareness practice, that somehow the sense of subject and object can merge or come together or be connected in a different way, less separate. Or we could say the sense that what is known and that which knows it somehow are merging, coming together. And that actually can have different flavors, yeah? And I would include that perception that what is arising is an impression in awareness within that, but I'll offer a few more. So I'm going to go ahead and actually start us with an exercise. Just as it was last week, I'm just kind of pulling out some possible ways of kind of playing with our stance towards experience and where we might be looking in order to, I don't know, explore some possibilities that may or may not carry over into your vastness of awareness practice, but maybe something will be helpful. And just really look at it as a period of play, see what happens. Again, I'm going to stay here within kind of the domain of the physical body. Yeah, so we're not kind of going fully vast, but just sort of playing in different ways with the attention. Last week, I really focused on the possibility of playing with the perspective of awareness, you could say. And this time I'll be playing a little bit more with this idea of the possibility of sensing subject and object, or the known and the knower kind of coming together, or that which knows, we could say. That might be more correct. So we'll go ahead and practice. This will be around 10 minutes, and then I'll offer a bit more teaching, and then we'll do a longer practice. Let's see. So just taking a moment to settle whatever way is helpful for you. It might involve connecting with your meditation posture, just bringing a little attention there. So any adjustment that might bring more balance or more of a sense of alertness, more sensitivity or openness. It might be helpful in allowing the mind to settle a bit, to let the attention rest within the experience of the whole body as it breathes. Just sensitive to resting the attention within the experience of this breathing body. Now becoming aware of the sensations within this field of the body that let us know it's here, that let us know the body is here. Points of contact between the body and itself, or the body and the support, the cushion. Maybe noticing areas of heaviness or pressure or a sense of weightiness within the body. Maybe areas of vibration or warmth or tingling within the body, different places, different points. Just a little inventory of the different sensations that give us the impression of the physical body. And now, as well, becoming aware of the space within the body. Just taking a minute or so to tune into the areas within this wider field of the body that are quiet, that are neutral. We may perceive some sense of openness or spaciousness between and around these areas of more active sensation. Just noticing and appreciating what is around and between these islands or points or swaths of feeling. Letting the attention soak into the quiet, the absence, the space as well. Now again, including the whole of the physical body within the attention, within the awareness. sensing and appreciating both the space and the solid together. The active sensations, the absence of sensation, all is held and sensed within this light, bright awareness. This awareness easily filling, moving into the space, the openness within the field of the body. This spacious awareness both holds and knows what it encounters. It may be possible to sense or to imagine this spacious knowing as free to move into the areas of the body that feel to be solid. Like water drawn into a sugar cube, perhaps. Just effortlessly drawn into any area that feels to be solid or relatively solid. Imbuing that solidity with spaciousness. Knowing it from within. Or possibly there may be a sense that the more solid, active areas of the body have the capacity to become atomized, to become particulate or cloud-like. Opening to this spacious awareness, allowing it to enter into these areas of more solidity. Just a freedom to move within both the spacious and the solid. Another possibility that may be helpful for some is to sense that within the solid areas of the body, the more active areas of sensation, one can sense some frequency of the spaciousness, some characteristic of the spaciousness is also found within what feels to be solid. This frequency of the spaciousness within the solid may have a particular tone or quality when it encounters what is solid. It may be a particular variation within the areas that are open and spacious. But somehow it can be recognized and tuned into anywhere, everywhere. The peace, the stillness, the silence. Connecting, dissolving the separation between. And what of the sense of the boundaries between the inner and the outer? What is within the body and what is beyond it? Maybe a sense that the spacious awareness is not bound by anything it encounters. Able to know from within as well as without. Unencumbered. So, yeah, for the teaching, I'll maybe just kind of underline. Maybe I've scheduled a little too much for today, so I'm kind of moving it along. But you will be able to kind of pick up where you left off in the second practice, if you like. Maybe to just kind of underline again some of these possibilities for the ways that we can sense the merging or the coming together of the what is known and that which knows it, or the subject and object somehow coming together. One, again, is this possibility of sensing that what is arising within the attention, the objects of attention, are no different in substance than the awareness. I'll emphasize that direction a little bit more in the second practice, and that's a perception that Rob offers a couple of guided meditations that are really focused on that. One is called Chittamatra, that's the title of the guided practice. And another is, at least part of the title, is Only Impressions in Awareness. So you can listen to both of those to have a more opened up practice with them. He also has a guided, a Dharma talk called Chittamatra, which is quite interesting because it talks about the relationship between that way of practicing or those kinds of perceptions and different Buddhist traditions. So you can check that out. Another possible way in which the sense of subject-object connect or somehow share the same space or the same characteristic is this possibility that we can sense that everything belongs to the space. Yeah, so that's actually, it's a sort of working on a different, I don't know, aspect of the sense of what's arising, the object. It's where it belongs. It's somehow, there's a commonality there. There's a way of kind of connecting and bringing together. Another possible kind of perception that can arise, and all of these perceptions, they can arise, but they can also be engendered. Yeah, so they can kind of, sometimes they just show up, and sometimes there's something we can play with, like intentionally seeing what we can find if we kind of work with instructions that might engender those perceptions. Is something of a kind of thinness to experience, or a sense that experience is becoming very attenuated, phenomena is becoming attenuated. My old teacher Shinzen Young used to say something like experience is becoming, you know, paper thin. Yeah, and you can feel it. Certainly, we can relate this to how it feels when there's been a reduction in the degree of clinging. That's one way this sort of fading of perception can sort of feel and show up. When we're practicing within this context of a vastness of awareness, part of what we're doing is emphasizing a sensitivity to a perception of a kind of ground in which things are held or they arise from or are part of. And so when there's a kind of thinning to phenomena and a thinning to experience, it's almost like you can see that ground through it. Yeah. And they're sort of connected just in the, through the lightness of phenomena. So that's a kind of perception that can arise, sort of a different shading. All of these things I'm talking about in one way or another, you could see as kind of the result of less clinging and kind of the ways that some aspect of what must be there to hold the clinging in place gets pulled out, and things kind of come together and merge and are less delineated, less separate, less thing-like, more connected. Another possibility, this I emphasized a bit in the exercise, is the sense that what is known and sensed can be permeated by the awareness or the spaciousness or the stillness or the silence. So that it can kind of, it somehow meets it and fills it, yeah? And in that way, there's a coming together or an occupying of the same space or a merging. And then another slight variation on that is somehow it's like sensing the space within what feels solid or hearing the silence within the sound is these kinds of perceptions, really beautiful perceptions. And in a way, they're connecting the subject and the object, or they're connecting the knower and the known. Really lovely. So that's sort of another. Generally with these perceptions, they show up when there's been a degree of clinging released. Could say that that must have happened for them to become, yeah, apparent somehow. And moving in the direction of perceiving things that way can be a way actually to release clinging. Yeah, so we can again kind of work from both directions and play. Last thing I want to share in my teaching, it's actually just a tiny quote. It is from the chapter in Rob's book on the vastness of awareness. It's actually from a section that is a discussion about how the term space is used to describe awareness. So in different texts, space is said to be it's a way to describe, or it's sometimes described as an attribute of awareness. And Rob has a bit of a discussion about that and sharing quotes from different teachers. The section I think is called Vast Awareness as the Source of All Things. If you're interested, I'm actually not really pulling it to explore that discussion so much as just pulling this single quote out, because I feel like it points to something really helpful for us doing these practices as meditators. It's almost, there's something in this quote that to me feels to be a kind of meditative instruction. It's from Mipham. This is the quote. Space is the mere designation for the quality of absence of physical obstruction or contact. It is a kind of negation then, an absence of physical obstruction. That is all. Not something that is given any real existence. So I share that for a couple reasons. Next week, I'll probably talk a little bit more about how we might kind of open up or come more in contact with a sense of vastness or boundarylessness within these practices. There's something very key for me in that little piece of text. It's not so helpful, or can be quite limiting to build the space with the mind, but it's a very natural tendency. It's almost like there's a, like, okay, I'm opening a sense of vast space and I'm kind of building this big place for it. Yeah. It's almost, we're kind of inserting an object, very different than this idea of a lack of obstruction, that way of thinking of space. But here in what I shared today, something about, dissolving the separation between the knower and the known, or the sense of subject and object. I feel it's sort of, there's a relationship there. Yeah. When, the sense of that which knows, somehow merges with what is known, it's like a kind of collapsing of different delineations, you could say. Yeah. It's like the separation between, subject and object, or me and that, it necessarily kind of disappears as things kind of occupy somehow the same location or the same space. Or there's a disappearing somehow of the kind of an implied distance. You know, it's just sort of how it feels, something like that. So it's a kind of, I don't know, there's just a relationship between that way of perceiving space and sort of sensing what can come from these kinds of perceptions of the merging of the subject and the object. So it's not so much, maybe I could say that how it feels when there is less clinging present and more space opens, it's not so much that there's a space that appears that has some qualities. Instead, it's more something like we're taking a step forward with our right foot, anticipating that it will hit the ground, but, you know, it never does. Yeah, no ground is there. It's just the space, we kind of sense it that way. All right, so that may or may not have been helpful, but maybe for some, that little piece of text on space will, I don't know, ring a certain bell. So let's go ahead. I'm a little bit over, so we won't practice very long. Maybe just take about 15 minutes, and we'll do more of I'm going to offer a practice, a vastness of awareness practice that's quite in line with how Rob offers the Chitta Mantra type practice, or the sense of that things are only impressions in awareness. And again, I invite you to try those two practices where they'll be a little longer than what we can do today, but I really want to leave time for people to share reports and ask questions, so I won't sit too long. So in a way, we can begin this period of practice picking up where we left off, being with the field of the body, aware of the field of the body, maybe particularly tuning into or sensitive to any sense of spaciousness or stillness. Show up as a sense of openness within the body, or peace. Contacting the stillness, centered from that stillness within the body. Now allowing the attention, the awareness, to gently open to what is beyond the body. Not away from the body, but centered from it. We might begin by noticing the sounds in the environment. Listening, receiving the sound. Those that are near. Those that are farther away. And in front of us, behind us, above us, below us. This expansive space of awareness, just receiving what arises. The silence as well as the sound. Also receiving, also sensitive to the silence around, between. The sounds born of the silence, persisting within it, then fading back into the silence. One might imagine the awareness as being like an open, vast sky. The sounds, the sensations, appearing and disappearing as they will. Like fireflies appearing, disappearing. Or bursts of different kinds of energy. Free to appear, hang out, and disappear as they will. No need to become entangled with what arises or what disappears. All is held within this spacious, open field of awareness. Room for absolutely anything to arise. Be it pleasant, unpleasant, thoughts, aspects of emotional experience, textures, sounds, body sensations, the space undisturbed. Generous and welcoming. No need to push and pull. Whatever arises is already held in awareness. It may be possible to sense the arising of sensations, of sounds, of thoughts, like waves in the ocean. Arising within, and then dissolving back into the ocean. Different permutations, different forms, different energies, but all rising from and dissolving back into this spacious awareness. Maybe a sense that all that arises, all phenomena, are impressions in awareness. Their very nature is part of and belonging to the awareness. Like a reflection on the surface of a lake. In a minute or so, I will ring the bell. Choosing for yourself how you would like to close the practice. One choice is to just rest within this sense of openness or receptivity or vastness. Another possibility is to gently come back to an awareness of the sense of the physicality of the body. Just coming back into the physical space you find yourself in. If that kind of transition feels helpful, that is also an option.